Our morning this morning is about Jesus filling everything. Jesus fills everything. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 to 23. Jesus, as we come to your word, I want to thank you for what you're doing in this world. And I want to thank you that you've invited all of us to partner with you in sharing, delivering the good news of your kingdom to every nation on this globe. And I thank you, Jesus, that through our partnership with you, that you're beginning to fill everything on this globe with yourself. I'm so grateful for that and ask that our eyes now could be open to see what you're doing, that our ears would be open to hear, O Lord, your good news as we thank you for our time and your word. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him, endless energy, boundless strength. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments, no name, no power exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He's in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. And at the center of all this, Jesus rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Last week we began to pray a prayer, and I'd like to invite you to stand up. I'd like to pray that prayer over us again. It's a very important prayer. It's what precedes what we just read. The things we know about Jesus are meant to be experienced. They're not just meant to be intellectual facts that get filed away in our brains, but we're actually meant to experience hope. We're meant to experience the abundance of our inheritance and salvation. We're meant to experience the power of the risen Lord. So if you would just kind of be receptive to what our God wants to do for us in answer to this prayer. Oh God, God of the Master Jesus Christ, God of glory, give to our community wise and revelatory thoughts, enlightening our understanding so that we experience the hope from your invitation to enter the kingdom of God, the abundance of your glorious salvation inheritance in us, and the extraordinary greatness of your power for us who believe, according to the intense working of your strength. Amen. Please be seated. The power that you and I are meant to experience is the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. When we read, you know, endless power, you know, it's kind of like, oh man, on a rainy morning, I don't feel very powerful. It's kind of like we have to be raised from the dead on a morning like this. And sometimes we resort to coffee and snacks to, you know, kind of get our blood sugar up. But the fact is, my friends, those of us that are following Jesus and those of us that are praying this prayer, God is actually giving to us the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is resident within us. Now, I don't even know how to calculate that power. Jesus was dead, and God raised a dead man from the dead. And the power that raised Jesus from the dead is resident right here in this room, right now, in every one of us, and combined all of us. My friends, that is power. I mean, that is a power that is unknown on the planet. I mean, wow. And this one that the power of God raised from the dead, just think about where he is. Christ died, but he's risen. And Jesus right now sits on a throne in deep heaven. Paul calls deep heaven the third heaven. So you've got our planet, the atmosphere around it, you've got the universe, and outside of this universe is the throne of God, the third heaven. Jesus sits on a throne right now. In wherever that is, that's where Jesus is, right now. And on that throne, he's in charge of running the universe. All authority has been given to Jesus. All authority. In heaven, throughout the universe, and on earth, all authority has been given to Jesus. From galaxies to governments. There's no name, there's no power exempt from his rule. And it's not just in this present age. It's in this present age and the age to come. Matter of fact, the authority of Jesus for the age to come is actually broken into this present age, and it's begun. Eternity has actually begun. And Jesus is in charge of all. Jesus has the final word on everything as long as we invite him to do that. The world is still, in general, in rebellion against the rule of Jesus. It will stay in rebellion, even though it knows it's defeated, until Jesus returns and there's final victory. Those of us that have their eyes open to the reality of the present reign of Jesus, everything up here becomes true. But a world in rebellion against Jesus, this is not so. Bad things still happen in our world. There's still bad governments in this world. We're going to Rwanda. Bad thing happened in Rwanda. Really bad thing. It does not comfort anybody to say, well, Jesus was in charge. Oh, Jesus was in charge of that genocide? What are you talking about? A genocide is out of the control of Jesus. Did Jesus want it to happen? Heavens, no. Would it have happened if the church actually lived under the rule and the reign of Jesus? No, it would not have. Rwanda was the most Christian of the African nations. So were people living under the rule of Jesus Christ in Rwanda when the genocide happened? No. They chose not to. And when they chose not to, what happened? The world, the flesh, and the devil so blinded people that they picked up machetes and slaughtered each other. Christians. Priests that set up their congregation. It'd be like me inviting you in on a Sunday morning, didn't know it, you know? Come on in. Door gets locked and you're all slaughtered within the church building. That's not a God that's in control. That's flesh. That's hate. That's evil. But my friends, for you and I, when we're following Jesus, then we acknowledge this. And we want this for ourselves. We want this for our families. We want this for our friends. We want this for our neighbors, our nation, any nation we go. This is what we want. This is what we long for. Let your kingdom come. Let your rule and your reign come upon this earth. Because when God's in charge, things like a genocide don't happen. There's healing. There's freedom. We put our weapons away. There's no hate. In the midst of all of this, at the center of all of this, Jesus rules the church. The church is Christ's body. We are the body of Christ. We're part of the body of Christ. Jesus speaks to us. Jesus acts toward us. Jesus demonstrates his rule and his reign among us. And Jesus fills us with his presence. Last week in Colorado, I really wanted to spend time on the computer getting my notes together for Rwanda. It's all there. I just needed to organize it. And I couldn't. And the part of it was, he just had a different idea in preparing me for Rwanda. The worship last week was just unbelievable, off the charts. The workshops were great. And every morning I'd get up and I'd take a walk. And I was in the Navigators headquarters called Glen Eyrie. Absolutely gorgeous. Red rocks, mountains around you. And as I walked around in just the early morning, sun rising, I was brought to tears on every walk. And it was because I was just being tenderized by the presence of God, the beauty of His creation around me, the memories of the songs that we were singing, and how the presence of Jesus would fall upon us at these meetings and the workshops and the heart of Jesus. I mean, I was just being tenderized. So I really know I am prepared to go to Rwanda, not because my notes are in order, but because I lived a week in the presence of Jesus. He fills us with His presence. And I felt His love. My eyes were open to His beauty. I experienced relationship with Jesus. That's what He's doing with this thing called church. We're His body. And as the head is, so is the body. And I love how the message says the church is not peripheral to the world. I mean, sometimes we kind of set up that Jesus is on His throne and He's over the church, and we're kind of to the side of the world. Kind of the world is just kind of operating over here, and we kind of step out of it. We kind of disengage. Well, that makes us something on the periphery of the world. And that's not what Jesus had in mind at all. He did not envision that His kingdom come, kingdom coming, His body would be on the fringes of the world with little penetration into the world. He didn't have that in mind at all. He had a whole different order in mind, that the world would actually be peripheral to the church. You see, Jesus is in charge of running our universe. And He directs His rule, you know, kind of the big picture from the universe. He focuses on us, the church. And we can scratch our head all we want and think, why in the world would He do that? I mean, doesn't He know who we are? And the fact is, He does know who we are. But He also knows what He's instilled in us. We're back to the power. The power of the resurrected Lord is resident within us. And He's speaking to us. He's demonstrating His kingdom to us. He's filling us with His presence. We are the foe. I mean, He has planted us right in the center of the world so that as Jesus speaks and He acts and He fills us with His presence, we then go speak to our world. We go demonstrate the acts of the kingdom to the world. We take His presence with us into His world. And through us, this world is filling up with the presence of God. That's our place in this. That's astounding. Back up one slide, please. Because I really want us to get this. As Jesus fills the universe, the focus of His rule and His reign right now is on those of us that are following Him, His body, the church, universal. That includes us in this room. When we gather together, week in and week out, our hope is Jesus would speak to us. Our hope is that Jesus would demonstrate His kingdom to us. And that we would be filled with His presence. But there's more. Because as we hear Him, as we see Him act, as we're filled with His presence, then He sends us out those doors every week into this world to repeat to the people around us what He has said, what He has done, and we bring His presence. We bring His presence into our neighborhood. We bring His presence into the classroom. We bring His presence wherever we work. We bring His presence wherever we go. His presence is with us. This world is being filled with the presence of God through the people of God. Isn't that amazing? See, Jesus is filling our world. And you probably can't read the next slide very well because it seems to be really small. But I'll come up here close enough so I can read it to you. So in the big picture, Jesus is filling the universe with His presence, with His authority, with His kingdom. As He fills the universe, His access into this world begins with the church, begins with you and me. He pours out His presence, His kingdom among us. And then that goes to, like me as an individual, I want the kingdom within me. I want Jesus to rule and to reign within me. And I want Jesus to have rule and reign in my family. And I want to have Jesus ruling and reigning in my neighborhood, in my city, in the classroom, in my place of work. And then it just keeps broadening out. I want Jesus, His presence, His word, His action to influence every institution, every government. That's how He moves out. That's how Jesus is filling the world. Bless you. And as it's so opposite of the way we live. You know, we want to be involved in our community. One of the things I'm concerned about in our community is that we have lots of tourists that come and they trash our river. Guess where I stand on this thing? But I want you to study both sides. Because I believe that Jesus wants to influence both sides. So I want you, if your side is, it's my river, I can trash it if I want to, you work that out with Jesus, and you go be Jesus to that group. Don't let that group influence you. You influence that group in the name of Jesus. Maybe your group is, support the band. All right? Don't let that group influence you. Go to that group. That's your conviction. Now influence that group in the name of Jesus. Guess where I'm going with this? I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care if you're green. Don't let political parties influence you. You influence that party for the kingdom. Because that's how God fills this world. Don't think that a political party is your Savior. It's not. There's only one Savior, Jesus. And every political party on this planet needs Jesus in charge. And Jesus gets in charge because that's where you believe you need to be. And you take the presence and the word and the power of Jesus to that meeting. Do we understand who we are? Do we understand what Jesus has instilled in us? Do we understand that God longs for us to get it? So much of my life I've just wasted waiting for Jesus to return and rescue us. My friends, the rescue's already happened. Now He wants to apply that rescue now through us to the people around us. And He will empower us to do that. He loves for us to say, I can't do that. I know you can't do that. As much as Jesus couldn't raise Himself from the dead, you can't do it. The power of God does it. We're talking about the impossible, but God does the impossible through us, ordinary people. Do we get it? The universe is filled with the presence of God as the people of God represent His presence everywhere they go. Some of you are going to show up in a classroom tomorrow. Maybe you should say, Jesus, what would you like to say to this classroom today? Some of you are going to show up at a job that you don't like. Maybe you should ask that Jesus takes charge. Help me, Jesus, I'm miserable here. Jesus, there's things that aren't right here. Come and set things right here. Maybe one of your coworkers is going to be sick tomorrow. Maybe we could pray. Jesus, do you want to do anything about that? I mean, like, maybe even like pray for somebody to be healed in your place of work. I mean, God, I mean, He loves to demonstrate His kingdom in this building, but if it's just going to be in this building, He's not really happy about that. He demonstrates His kingdom here, so we'll do it out there. He speaks here, so we'll speak out there. Sometimes we're just so enveloped by His presence. He does that, so we'll do it out there. This is the means to the end. This is not an end in itself. So here's some suggestions. Let's invite Jesus to establish His dignified and powerful rule in our community. I mean, Jesus, let Your kingdom come. I mean, every time we're together, whether it's on a Sunday morning and our bigger communities together, or we're in our small groups, or we're just one-on-one, let Your kingdom come. You know, demonstrate. Establish the dignity and power of Your rule right now, right here. That's what the kingdom prayer is about. Then let's invite Jesus to speak to our community. Let's all have the attitude, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. We're the servant of the Lord. Speak. I really appreciate our worship leaders when they give opportunity, you know, within our worship. I mean, if the Holy Spirit is going to speak, we give opportunity for that. We want Him to speak. We want to invite Jesus to act in our community. We want Him to demonstrate His kingdom. For those of us that are bound up, we want Him to set us free. For those of us that are ailing, we're sick, we want to pray for each other. We believe God still heals. That's a sign of His kingdom. All of us are pressured financially. Well, let's ask for His provision. That's a kingdom deal. Abundance is a kingdom act. Why do you think there was always leftovers when Jesus fed 5,000 and 4,000? What is He teaching us there? Man, there's always leftovers. The kingdom of God, He provides more than we can imagine. Let's invite Jesus to fill our community with His presence. As we're going to discover later in Ephesians, don't drink too much wine. Let's not get drunk. That really cheapens life. Let's drink the Spirit of God. I mean, huge draughts of Him. Let's be filled with the Spirit again and again is the action in that request. We want to be full of the Holy Spirit. We want God's presence, as one of my older friends says, to be heavy on us. We want to feel His presence. And that ebbs and flows. When it ebbs, we want to get desperate. I love Your presence, one song says. I love Your presence. We want to be a community that loves His presence because we know we're being transformed. We're being filled to go out, to be Jesus to everybody around us. Then finally, as He establishes His rule among us, as He speaks to us, as He acts in our community, as He fills our community with His presence, do for others. For most of us, When we get bored in a church, the reason we get bored in a church is we're not doing anything for anybody else. If our understanding is, I'm going to show up in community gatherings, in small group, I'm going to receive, and everything I receive, I'm going to give away, I can guarantee you will never get bored where you are. I can guarantee it. We get bored when we're not using what God gives us. And He's given us opportunity. I mean, He gives us 6 days of opportunity and one refilling. Again, what is that? I mean, might that tell us like He gives us an abundance on one day to distribute to others on 6 days? My friends, everybody in this room has more knowledge and more experience. We've got, I mean, we have a backlog. I mean, we could all go out and spend all tomorrow, the next day, all this week, telling everything, all the experiences, praying for people, and we still wouldn't get, we wouldn't drain ourselves. And the point of that, that's how Jesus fills this universe. He fills us to pass it along to others. You want, I mean, that's what we signed up for. Would you like to stand with me? If today, at the bottom line of this today, if you know within your own soul that you're living in rebellion against the dignity and power of the rule of Jesus, I would really encourage you to just come up and say, you know, I'm a long way from inviting Jesus to rule my own heart. Maybe today could be the beginning of that. Maybe you want Jesus to speak to you. Maybe it's been a really long time since you've heard Him. Inga has a horrible pain. I mean, we're just going to go week in and week out and just say, I'm sorry. You know, I hope it gets better. Or are we going to, pray again, people even fasted and prayed for healing. Like, would we get that desperate because we love this woman? Because she's in pain? Because Jesus wants to demonstrate His kingdom? He wants to demonstrate His kingdom among us. But I'd like to pray for us as a community. Say amen, stay and pray. Here we go. Jesus, thank You for Your kingdom come. Thank You for Your dignity. Thank You for Your power. Thank You that Your rule, Your reign, Your kingdom is within our reach. This morning we reach out to lay hold of Your dignity and Your power. Rule here, Jesus. Jesus, I invite You to speak to us. Speak corporately to us. During our times of worship, as we're extolling You, as we're praising You, I pray that You would speak. Speak to us, Lord. Let us hear Your word. And Lord, we invite You to demonstrate Your kingdom in our community. Lord, as we have need, whether that be physical, financial, emotional, Lord, we invite You to demonstrate Your kingly rule by providing for us. And finally, oh Lord, I ask that we would be a community that is filled and refilled and filled and refilled with Your Spirit, with Your presence, so that we go out each week to give away that which You've given us to those around us. Lord, I pray that we would represent Your kingdom well in our neighborhoods, in this city, in this state. I pray, Lord, that You would fill our neighborhoods, that You would fill our city, our state, our nation, with your presence as you work through us to give away all that you give to us. So Lord, begin that here. And I pray, Lord, for other congregations around our city, for all of us to begin to see the universe filled with your presence. Lord, thank you that we're your body. Thank you that we're central in your plan. Thank you, Lord. Give us the same enthusiasm as our children. In Jesus' name, amen.